Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 139, a selection of verses. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I stand, you know when I sit down. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. Place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And every morning when I wake up, you are still with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This morning, I want to get a little personal and share with you some of my life walking with Jesus. A life learning surrender. And my hope is that you will see why my heart sings and that it will encourage your hearts to sing as well. May God use my story to encourage you in your story. And may my story help you decipher the hand of God in your own story. Now, I do not have one of those amazing salvation testimony stories, you know, where I was in a really dark, bad place and suddenly there was God pulling me out. I don't have a dramatic change kind of story. I remember thinking how sad it was that I didn't have such a story. And I was in a conference and we were in groups and we were sharing our testimonies. And so each person went around and there was like, you know, I'd been a drug addict, I'd been in the streets, you know, all of these kinds of stories were happening. And it came to be my turn. And I was a little embarrassed and I'm like, well, I don't have a story. Because I don't ever remember not knowing that Jesus loved me. I'd been raised in a partially Christian home, and I always knew that I was loved by God and that Jesus loved me, and so I don't have a testimony. At which the group got kind of quiet, and they looked a little amazed, and each one of them said, wow, I wish that had been my story. And I realized in that moment just how incredibly blessed I was. That I had always known Jesus. Now, knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus are not exactly the same thing. I still had to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul puts it. I had to reach a place of willful surrendering. And I don't just say surrender, because it's not a one time and we're done. It's an everyday kind of thing. We learn to surrender daily. Now, for many of my years growing up, my faith was focused more on God helping me in my plans than my doing anything for God. And I prayed that my plans were God's plans. I did pray God's will in my life. But I don't know if I ever sat around to try to figure out if what I was deciding was actually what God was willing. I didn't really understand surrender. I kind of thought it was simply just not doing bad things that Christians shouldn't be doing anyways. I thought surrender was more like rule following. But I've come to learn that surrender is a condition of the heart. It's not just about not doing bad things, but more about doing God things. Now, surrender led me out of a career in teaching to a far more risky career as a youth pastor. Teaching has a lot of job security. You really have to screw up to lose your spot. But I only had a 5-year guarantee from my church at that time for my position. I was trading away a secure teaching job, a teaching profession, for youth ministry. Now, in order to do this, I wanted to have Mike's agreement. And I remember praying, Lord, if Mike's not for this, I can't do it. And Mike's a very practical, logical, what, teaching? You want to give up teaching? Kind of guy. And so I really didn't expect that God could change his heart. And surprise to me, Mike's like, if that's where you feel you're being led, I'm not standing in the way. Which is as best as I could get toward an agreement. I don't know that he could utter the words, yes, that's a great idea, honey. But he was in agreement to let it unfold. I thought that was a win, and I thanked God. Because like I said, we were a team. We were raising a young family together. This was not just my kind of decision. Surrender can be hard, and it can often mean sacrifice. I loved being a teacher. Surrender requires a lot of prayer, but also a willingness to move when you think you've got the answer. There's no point praying for God's will if you're not willing to step into it. And sometimes, oftentimes, God makes you step in before it's fully clear as an act of faith and trust. And so we stepped out into this youth ministry world. Our parents thought we were nuts. Probably more specifically, they thought I was nuts. Even my mom. And she was like one of those solid rock supporter people. Whatever you want to do, honey. And even this one made her pause and wonder. But living life with Jesus, which is different than living life for Jesus. There's a subtlety there. But living life with Jesus is exciting. It's like going on a trip where only the guide knows exactly where you're going, but you just keep following because the traveling keeps getting better and better and more exciting. I had thought from the time of childhood that I was going to be a teacher, and I was for a period of time, but God had a different plan. In fact, I think that God was really preparing me through those years for the next adventure, the real adventure that he was leading me to, which has landed me here. And looking back, I would not have traded my life for any other. Surrender has brought me to an amazing place of fulfillment and joy and peace. And I think from my childhood, God has been preparing me just as he's prepared each of you as you've grown. My earliest recollection of really having any kind of spiritual growth where God was right in it was when I was a teenager. Our church, this was their ministry to the young people, is if you were a teenager and somehow connected to this little church, they sent you to camp for 1 week every summer. And it was to Guelph Bible Conference grounds, which is a little more Baptist-y, a little more evangelical-y than what we might find in the United Church. But it was an amazing place. And when I was there for the first time, I was surrounded by excited believers. Our little tiny church in London had about 4 teenagers, and 3 of them were my brothers. So I didn't know what it was like to have a bunch of teenagers excited about Jesus until this camp. And we were surrounded. This is the environment that we were in. And Jesus was spoken about and sung about. And I loved every minute of it. And it was there that I realized Jesus is really real. It wasn't just some faith thing, but that it was real. And the adults that were there leading us had dedicated their lives to serving this God. It was an amazing experience, a life-changing experience for me. Certainly a faith-building one. It was at this camp that I bought my first Bible. And as some of you have heard earlier, I have a bit of a Bible buying addiction. I have way too many that I should. But anyways, this was the first. This is what began it all. And it's a little NIV. In the tiniest little font that I could read easily then. Not so much now. When I took this Bible down off my shelf, because I planned to bring it today, and I just kind of thumbed through it, and I noticed there was one little spot where I had underlined a few verses, nowhere else. So I was curious. I'm like, I wonder what spoke to me way back then. And the first verse that I had underlined was John 1:12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is a common theme in my sermons today. My desire is always that everyone understands that they are a child of God, that this is a real position that you have with God. So interesting that somewhere in my teens I underlined that verse. The next one I underlined was John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I was beginning to understand the importance of grace. And it is also a common theme in what I preach. Interestingly, one of my favorite biblical teachers, he has an online presence of a huge world ministry named Joseph Prince. And that verse is the one that he has rooted his ministry in. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Coincidence? I think not. The third verse that I had underlined was in Acts. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Is that not where I am today? Filled with the Holy Spirit and being a witness of Jesus to the end of the earth, known as Browns United Church? These verses I underlined decades ago somehow sound a little prophetic now. And this really encouraged me to know that long before I even understood what living with Jesus meant, long before I understood surrendering, God had his hand on my life with a very specific purpose and a very specific path. And he shaped me over the years, showing the truth of Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work to good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now, another little amazing thing about the condition I found this Bible in was that the ribbon was marking what was my favorite passage way back then. And when I opened it up, it was Psalm 139, which is the scripture I read part of this morning, that I had chosen already before I opened up this little book, because it is still today my absolute most favorite passage. If I could only have one passage, it would be Psalms 139. To me, it's foundational. I've used it so many times when I've done youth ministry and confirmation classes, because of the value I find in those verses. Now, even though God had his hand on me at a very early age, I still had to go through the maturing stages. And it's an ongoing process. We never fully mature until Jesus comes. So there is always room to grow. There is always an ability to grow a little more. Now, I don't want to leave you with the impression that I was a perfect, obedient, and dedicated Christian all of my life, because I wasn't. My little gospel hall church closed toward the end of my high school years. We went there because we could walk to it. My parents sent us. But when that little church closed, there wasn't really any other church nearby, and we just never went back. And not having a church connection, now I look back and realize what an impact that had, to have lost that connection, because it's kind of easy to stray when you're not weekly being reminded. And there was a season in my life in my early 20s, before I met my wonderful Mike, where the world swept me away. I was in love with the wrong person. He was a little older than me, he was not a Christian, and he led a lifestyle very different from mine. And we were together for 3 years. I know that my mom prayed diligently that my eyes would be opened. She told me after. Now, most of our relationship was distant. It was as though God was like, we've got to just mess with this a little bit. So about a year into our dating, my boyfriend at the time got transferred to Windsor. We were living in London, or he was living in London. He got transferred to Windsor. And then in the third year of our relationship, I was accepted into Teachers College in Kingston. Although I should have gone to Western, that was my home university, but God arranged a little more distance. But not only did God arrange some distance, he also arranged some really good Christian friends that I met while in Kingston. Now, during all this time, I continued to pray. I still held my faith. I didn't abandon Jesus, but I didn't follow his ways. And I justified this wrong relationship by saying that, well, I'll lead him to Christ, and then it will be awesome. The problem is I didn't do a very good job of leading him to Christ, and he did a far better job of leading me away from my convictions. You see, it's always easier to go downhill than it is to climb uphill. But thank goodness that God had his hand on me, and like I said, he brought me these good Christian friends in Kingston, and I began to realize what I was missing in my life again. And I saw this relationship very differently. And so I ended that relationship. And I tell you all of this to honor the faithfulness of God. God has a purpose and a plan, and you're not good enough to be able to totally derail it. Because God is always working to bring you back onto the plan. And maybe there's a long roundabout way, but God never gives up. His hand is always on us. I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness. And I praise him, and my heart sings because he loved me enough not to let me be swept away by the world. Life with Jesus is hard. Well, let's just say life is hard. Life with Jesus isn't necessarily any easier. Sorrow still happens. Heartache still happens. Trouble still happens. But we have one with us, whose love for us is far greater than our emotions, far greater than our sorrows, far greater than our circumstances. I can't imagine living life without Jesus. We probably all know people who aren't really Christians or they don't follow Jesus, and they have these troubles, and you just wish that they could pray. You just wish that they understood the power that was in our faith. I want to quote for you a singer who's a very jazzy. She's kind of one of my new favorites. Her name is Victory Boyd. And this is a line from her song. Even our saddest tears are not worthy to be compared to the glory of eternal life. Even our saddest tears are not worthy to be compared to the glory of eternal life. We have something amazing in our future, and nothing this world does compares to it. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Living life with Jesus is exciting. It's rewarding. It's fulfilling. It is peaceful even in chaos. It is joyful even in sorrow. My heart sings every day because Jesus loves me. May your heart sing as well. Let us go forth into the world in peace and dedicated to God's service. Let us hold fast to that which is good, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the needy and the afflicted, and honor all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. And may God's blessing be upon us and remain with us always. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.